الله الرحمن الرحيم فانكحوا ما طاب لكم من النساء مثنى وثلاث ورباع صدق الله العظيم. At this point Mufassirin quote the wonderful article of Hazrat Maulana Qasim Nanutwi Rahmatullah Ali on the subject of Ta'addud Azwaj of polygamy and other related matters as well. Hazrat Maulana writes that the prime object of nikah and marriage is to have children. Nisa'ukum harthul lakum. In another ayat, Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala says that your wives are your farms. And from a farm, the object of farming is to get the crop, to reap the crop, to plant and then to get the crop. So that is the actual object of marriage, that a person has children. Unfortunately, by and large, we as Muslims also have been so influenced by the Western world that we, many of us learned people, pious people, we employ family planning. Many, they say, we don't want children from the start, we'll see after a year or two, after 5 years, or that we'll only have 2 children, we'll only have 3 children. All this family planning is totally against Islam. And when the object is to have children, and as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِنِّي مُكَاثِرٌ بِكُمُ الْأُمَمِ, I want to have the biggest ummah on the day of Qiyamah. From that point also it is that nikah is the object of nikah is to have children. And we can see that just having one wife, you won't have plenty children. Therefore, polygamy, by which you have plenty children, that is what is required. Also, marriage is not just to satisfy our lust. There are many other ways. If we satisfy our lust only in marriage, and that also in a haram way, that we practice family planning so that we don't have children, then there are other haram ways also to satisfy oneself. That is not the object at all. The object is Allah has kept that enjoyment in satisfying oneself. But the real object is to have children. So the true nature of a true believer, that by marriage he will want to have as many children as possible. Of course, considering the health also of a woman and her period to recover after childbirth. Because it is strenuous childbirth, and every woman is not so strong that she can just give birth every year to a child. Though it is possible, but for her health sake, etc. And also for the tarbiyah, the upbringing of the children, that is a different matter. But this, that just we just want to have 2 or 3 children, or we plan that we, after so many years we'll have a child, etc. Also in this matter we see that the Shias are the only people who went to the horrible other extent, and worse than that, they completely changed the meaning of the ayat of the Quran Sharif also. That they say that homosexuality with one's wife, anal sex is also permissible. And they try and prove that also with the complete warped and upside down thinking from an ayat of the Quran, فَأَتُوا حَرْثَكُمْ أَنَّا شِئْتُمْ. That is, Allah says clearly, فَأَتُوا حَرْثَكُمْ, come to your farm. And your farm is the place where, from where children will be born. Not where it's impossible for children to be born. That is not going to the farm. That is going to another place. Going to the farm, Allah says, whichever way you want to come, but come to your farm. And this is also negation of the Jews' belief that if you come in some certain specific way to your wife, then the child will be that will be born will be squint. His eyes will be squint. There is absolutely nothing like that. Allah has permitted in whichever way you want to go to your farm, you can go. But don't go to any other farm. That is not a farm in the first place. A farm is where things grow. And if you go, if you have anal sex, nothing, no child will be born from that. That is not the farm at all. So, in this, and also, Hazrat Maulana explains that if a woman has to have more than one husband, two husbands, four husbands, whatever. From this ayat, some people ask this question. So in that case, the child that is born, whose child will it be? And if there are few children born, then who will claim which child? Who will want the boys and who will want the girls? Who will want those who are beautiful and who will want to take those who are not beautiful? Who will want to take those, which father will want to take those which are clever, and who will want to take those which are retarded or something? So all those questions come. When there is only one father, then he is responsible for all. If he has four wives also, he is responsible, and he takes the advantage of all the children. And if anything is, there is a defect, anything, it is also in his share. So Islam has prescribed this wonderful way that if a man can marry up to four women, and that also we must not forget the historical sequence, that before a man used to marry many, many more women, Islam limited it to four. And then with all conditions that you must maintain justice and fairness between your wives. If you cannot, then you just marry one woman. So this is also one great ibadat. It isn't just a social practice that in society when you come of age, now you must get married. Like commonly with us also, we will tell in our family, our nephew, a niece, anyone who has come now of age, now you are of age, you should get married. So it's like a social thing. That should not be the case. It's a ibadat. Nikah is a ibadat. Unfortunately, we don't look at it as a ibadat, so we don't consider the rules which are as ibadat for nikah. That the marriage is to have children, and that is the object. And together with that, to train them, because we don't look at it as an ibadah, we not only don't train our children correctly, we spoil our children. The kind of clothes we give them to wear, we give them the cell phone from a small age already, and all other terrible things, how we spoil them. Their habits, we don't train their speech, that how they must speak. If they swear, we don't teach them to say please, we don't teach them to say thank you, we don't teach them to say bismillah before eating. We all the other things we will do, the wrong things we will do, but what we have to do, we don't do. Marriage, nikah is a great thing in Islam, but unfortunately we pay no attention to it also, and we just take it like a social thing in life, and we just carry on in that way. May Allah give us tawfiq to understand what a beautiful deen we have got. And we can only enjoy the beauty and the sweetness of the deen when we will practice it. If we don't practice it, we can never get the sweetness of marriage, of nikah, of children. Or children, when they are small, they are joy. And if they are brought up correctly, when we are old, they are joy. They make our khidmat, they look after us. So that is all if we have nikah according to deen. May Allah bring deen into our lives, and it's not sufficient to know. It is necessary to practice. Then we will get the fruit. Just knowing, we won't get the fruit. The fruit we will get when we will practice. May Allah give us all tawfiq. Subhanallah.